everyone, and welcome to 1010 Would Recommend, a very special episode, mainly because me and Gina are in the same room.
Together but socially distanced, as is per the law.
It is very, very exciting because since we started this podcast, we've never actually recorded in the same building. So this is nice.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It is very weird. But we're here together, finally, and we're excited about that. And we are also very excited about what's to come on this episode. Gina, fill them in.
So today we're talking about a show that is number one on Netflix right now.
Yeah, it is.
We're talking about Sweet Tooth, and we are speaking specifically to Adil Akhtar, who plays Dr. Singh in Sweet Tooth. I'm really looking forward to it. He seems really great. He's been in a ton of stuff. So that's what's to come. But before we get onto that, T, how are you doing? I see in real life you look absolutely gorgeous.
I'm good. I'm feeling funky, feeling fresh. I've realized how much I like the word funky.
Oh, really?
I feel like we don't use it enough. And I think it's a word that I would like to come back alongside Nang. Do you remember Nang?
Oh my God.
I want Nang to come back. So this summer, 2021. I'm going to be using words like funky and Nang. So I feel funky, and this episode is going to be Nang.
You know what I love about you during this podcast is that I feel like every episode you just slightly change your identity slightly. Oh, bigger and better every time.
One day I'm going to listen back and be like, yeah, that's her. That's who I'm going to stick with. The mysterious girl died a long time ago.
Yeah. I wondered how long that would last. I think you did well.
It didn't last the whole episode.
Yeah, but when I tried to tell you that a couple episodes ago, you cussed me, so I thought, let me be supportive.
Whatever. This girl.
this week.
Whatever. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm in a very good mood because we're recording together, because it's always fun to be with you. That was really earnest.
And it's really sweet as well. Do you know what? That's really sweet. So I wrote a book. I haven't spoken about it on this podcast, but I have read a book.
Yes, you have. It's amazing.
There is a line in the book that says that I think that friendship should sound like that song. Ooh, it's always better when we're together. So it's actually really cute that you said that, because I absolutely love that song.
Well, we are actually proper friends, aren't we?
And I know this is a Netflix TV podcast. I just want to swing it a little bit to the left.
Let's do it.
Just because of what we just said now, and talk music.
Okay.
There is a certain song that comes on in a lot of films. This is still linked, and it's a soundtrack to like A Lovely Day. Do you want to do like a montage of someone's day? And it's kind of like just a really nice song.
Yeah.
So I just think that song is perfect. I can't remember who sings it. And there's another song that I think is the perfect soundtrack song.
Okay.
And it's Dancing in the Moonlight by Top
Loader. Oh, I love that song. I think it's the perfect song. So much.
And I think it's a perfect soundtrack song. Imagine like a big, at the end of a really good film, and everything's happening, everything's well. Yeah. And it starts playing.
We get it. Oh, I'll say everything back.
Isn't it perfect?
It is a really good song.
What would your perfect soundtrack song be?
I like anything that's emotional. You know, I showed you that video. So I made a video of me like with use my grandma's voice. That like nice background music that just makes you emotional every time and gives you goosebumps. So without further ado, let's get talking to our guests.
Some stories start at the beginning. Ours begins here. This is a story about a very special boy. A boy we come to know as Sweet Tooth.
Adil, thank you so much for coming on 1010 Would Recommend. We are so happy to have you here. Obviously, we're going to talk about Sweet Tooth, the new Netflix show, which looks amazing. Like, it looks really, really good. And Gina tried to sell it to me a few episodes ago, and she didn't do a great
job. You weren't willing to accept it. Your heart wasn't open.
We have guests here. What she said was, it's about a baby who's a half deer, half a human.
Yeah, but you didn't sell it. Gina, come on. Half a baby, half a king.
No, no, Adil, no, please, Adil, don't.
Yeah, go.
You know what it's like? Yeah. You know when a new person comes in and they start showing off? This is what's happening. That's what Tolly's doing. I was like, reference point. T, have you watched Lion, Witch and Wardrobe? Do you remember Mr. Tumnus?
Oh.
Because that's what I thought of. Reference. Thank you. That is a good reference. Thank you. But she is right. I did not say it to her. So I guess the question was, sorry, T, you can continue. I did interrupt you.
Adil, I was hoping you would do a better job than Gina would and tell us exactly about this half deer, half human. No,
with your Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe reference, I don't think I can. I think that's pretty on point. But okay, so let's see what I can do. So it's basically the start of a pandemic. And a little side, but a little side issue to this story is that we filmed the pilot early in 2019.
Okay.
And my character had like a sort of 8-minute intro that they sort of made smaller for the whole series. And that 8-minute intro, it was the doctor, who's my character, Dr. Singh, goes into a pharmacy, sort of like a Boots type situation.
Yeah.
And he goes into the pharmacy and all the drugs on the counter are all gone. All the cold and flu medicine. So this is pre-pandemic, right? So imagine that. So right, I'm flying far away to New Zealand, doing the pilot, and in the pilot, they're talking about this thing happening, and flu and drugs and all that missing, and then the start of it's like the world is slowly collapsing and in chaos and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then I come back to my local Boots on Woolworth Road.
Wow, so
then it was like this prick. So that was my I was trying to sell the whole show, but I went off on a tangent. I think good. Okay. I think the tangent, suddenly I'm like, this is a good tangent. Yeah, but anyway, back to it. And then sort of in the series, sort of post sort of pandemic-y sort of world, you find that there's these hybrid children that are born and nobody knows whether or not they're the cause of the sort of downfall and destruction of the world, or whether there's sort of, they hold the cure because they're sort of not affected.
Mm.
That's basically the story. And it follows this little boy called Gus, who's sort of half deer, half boy, and he befriends Jeopard, and they go on this adventure together to find Gus's mum, basically. And
it's really just cute.
So going through this sort of the world as if the pandemic that we're all under had actually come to sort of full fruition, and how people survive in that sort of in those chaotic times, basically.
What's interesting is just that, like, because Gus is different and like he's in this place where people kind of want to kill him, mm-hmm. and he has a group of people that want to protect him. I think it's quite true in life how many things that are different is kind of seen as the opposition, and it's seen as scary, and it's seen as something you kind of want
to
be
against. A good thing to put out in the world then.
Yeah.
So you're sort of presenting a story which is you can't really categorize and you can't really fit it into a nice neat little box, because it's like a story that's not been told before.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. through the allegory of it, like through the storytelling nature of it, you're suddenly your head and your heart is open to, like, you know, your imagination, which is a wonderful thing to put out there in the world. Suddenly you're like, I didn't think I was going to like it, but I actually love it. And, you know, around the world, it's sort of like ping, 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 like number one. So it's like, maybe there's something in that, what you're saying, and the idea that you're sort of stretching people's imaginations over this story, which they wouldn't ordinarily be exposed to or something.
Definitely, yeah. How does it feel turning on Netflix, and then seeing that your show that you're in is number one in this country, in that country, in that country?
What I normally do is when I hear the da-dun, I just repeat back to the da-dun. Yeah. And every time I'm in front of it, it's like a different pose. Like, yeah. It's crazy, man. Like, it's not something that I can ever... You know, all over the world, it's number one. So I don't really have words to sort of explain what that feels like. It's just sort of massively overwhelming. But then when you simplify it in your own head, you just go, well, why not? You know, it's a good story. It's beautiful. It's heartfelt and it's moving. And, you know, so I can make sense of it, but it takes a bit. When I really think about it, I'm like, da-dun.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this exact moment, I wish he was a rapper, because when rappers are told that they're number one, they're like, yeah, of course we are. And I wish I could have the arrogance of a rapper when I do good things. I'm like, well, of course I am.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe there's something. Yeah, but there is. Yeah, yeah. That's good, though, because it's like you've got this thing that you know is good and it's been shit. So maybe there's, maybe I should be a bit more like a rapper like this and just go,
yeah,
you know, it's good. And people should watch it because I knew it was good and they should.
Yeah,
they should. Yeah, they should like it.
Absolutely, exactly. You did that. You did. Yeah. You definitely did. Yeah. You spoke about not being able to be put into, like, categorized into a particular box because it's a new story. What kind of genre would you say that Sweet Tooth is? Because I feel like it's kind of, it's like a little bit sci-fi, coming of age kind of. It's lots of different things. What would you say it is?
Drama, family drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I went at this really wonderful point, you know, now with stories and everything, where whenever anybody, and absolutely, you welcome the question, but when anybody asks the question, you're like, I don't know, I'm glad I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm glad we're sort of in this place now where, like, you can turn on a comedy and suddenly you're sort of moved and you start crying. Yeah. But it was a comedy. Yeah. Why am I? And then the same with drama, you know, somebody's, like, you've got these really amazing sort of comedic actors doing drama and it's like, they're really making me laugh, but it's really heartfelt. And, you know, so it's like, it's exciting, isn't it? So I don't know, really, but I quite like the fact that it's melding into these sort of different genres and the worlds are sort of all melding together. And it's, yeah, and that's kind of representative of the story as well. Weirdly, like, the story itself represents the kind of world that we're looking out in at the moment, where it's like, it's all in there, you know, it's all mixed up in there. And it's just like, do you like it or do you not like it? You know, it's, yeah.
It's got the range. It's got the range. It's, yeah, it's more than one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, more than one thing. More than one thing. Yeah, yeah.
So do you think it's going to be like a one-off, or are you hoping to carry on telling the story? Like, what's your contract
saying?
Is it done?
Yeah. I think it's going good now, isn't it? So it's like people...
Yeah.
It's all... It's just that thing. If people tune in and they like it, then, and they want to see more of it, then... I suppose they'll do more. And if they didn't, if it wasn't as good as it was, and if people weren't enjoying it as much as they were, then they just would, that would be the sort of only one. But I think we'll be coming back, I reckon. It's like people are enjoying it too much for it not to, you know?
Do you think there's more of a story to tell as well sometimes?
I think so, because we're living that reality now, aren't we? We're sort of living that idea of, like, when we really came up against it and we really had to ask the sort of really difficult questions of ourselves, like, what, you know? And everybody was doing it, like, like the most ordinary people were sort of living their most extraordinary lives, you know, in the face of this sort of, in the face of these really difficult questions and everything. And so I think there's this sort of appetite for it, definitely. I think there's loads more to sort of explore in it story-wise.
So what I'm really fascinated by is the fact that during our run of doing this podcast during the pandemic, there have been so many shows that have just happened to have been all started before COVID, but all happened to be about a sort of virus or pandemic. You know, we've got Sweet Tooth. We spoke to the director for Oxygen, which was about a virus. And then, you know, all these things. And, you know, I know people say life imitates art, but you mentioned about... that you filming this then going back and having the exact replica.
Yeah.
What is that, I guess, like when you're part of a show that is so similar? I mean, obviously, we don't have, as far as we know, any hybrids.
We don't have any deer babies.
We don't have any Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, we don't know.
But, like, how strange is that? Yeah. And the fact that it's coming out during a pandemic, and it's just... I just think it's an odd experience. It's such an interesting experience as an actor.
But it's weirder for me because it was the start, you know. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing pandemic-y in the world. I don't know if you can put a Y at the end of pandemic.
I think you can.
You can.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Cool, thanks, guys. There was nothing pandemic-y in the world or in the air or anything, you know. So it was like, that made it even stranger because the types of stuff that we were talking about really sort of, they meant something, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like this. I mean, right now there should be an appetite for stories being told about pandemic, because, like, at the end of the day, audiences want to see them, their own self and their own experiences reflected in the stuff that they watch. So there's a sort of cathartic thing going on where you go, oh, okay, I feel a bit crazy, and this is something, it's a crazy story, and you have a place to put your craziness.
Yes,
exactly. But this one, the type of stuff that they were talking about, they've kept true to, even though it was a pre-pandemic-y thing. So it was all just relationship-y stuff.
I actually like when you put the whys on the end. I like it.
I like it.
It was relationship-y stuff. It was stuff about dads and sons and things about society and your group and who you belong and all that sort of stuff. And that was quite heartening because it made me go, oh, so even in the face of like this big sort of destructive force, you know, like a pandemic or whatever, those things are the things that see you through, you know? Yeah. So in that sense, it was like a real heartening thing because I'm going, okay, so when it's all crazy and the world's going nuts, the thing that is most important is, you know, your community, the people that you have connections with, embracing things that you might be a little bit scared of, and, you know, those sorts of things. So in that sense, it was kind of really, it was lovely to be, it was lovely to be reminded of those things, you know?
That's a good answer.
Definitely.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier when Gina asked about genres and like talking about watching a comedy that made you like a comedy that made you cry or things like that. And instantly that made me think of Back to Life, which you're in as well. Because that is
love that
a comedy as it is. But me and Gina absolutely love it. And we love your character in it. And you play so many different characters in everything you do, but yet you nail it every single time. Like you stay getting jobs. What is the secret to do? Like, how is it that you can be such an amazing like character, if that's the word?
Yeah. I think it's maybe secret. I don't know if there is this. I think it's just like what humans do generally is just sort of go, you just, if it wasn't for the opportunity, then you wouldn't be doing those things. So somebody somewhere has gone, oh, I reckon you could do this sort of weird sort of drama-y comedy thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, I don't know if I can, I'll give it a go. And then you do give it a go. And now suddenly people see you in that light.
Yeah.
And I think it's just really important to sort of be open to the opportunities that come your way and not feel like you have to sort of present yourself in a particular way, like not see us, oh, right, I'm a drama guy, so I'm just going to do the drama, or I'm a comedy guy, so I'm just going to do the comedy. It's just sort of going, you know, if you think you can do it justice, do the piece justice, then you just do that thing. And then suddenly, you know, there's more stuff coming your way that's like wonderful and interesting and, you know, quite original.
Because the first thing I saw you in Murdered by My Father, which I watched years ago with my mum. And that was, that was a massive deal. Because I like the story was new to many audiences. Like you'd heard like random things in newspapers or things like that, but it felt very new. It felt like going into a world that I've never been a part of and kind of wasn't aware of anything. So I just wanted to give you the flowers while I'm here to be like, you did amazing in that. So well that I couldn't stand you, but in a good way.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Again, it's like somebody coming up to you and going, I really see you in this part. And then you looking at the part and going, well, what? Why? And then you have more and more chats. And I suppose it all sort of boils down to sort of whether it's the sort of Back to Life world or whether it's the Murdered by My Father world or even the Sweet Tooth world. It's like the sort of common denominator between all those things is somebody's humanity, and your job is to, as an actor, I suppose, is to sort of excavate that stuff and find the humanity in all those things and sort of like, you know, and then present it with some emotional truth, and then hopefully people see an insight into that story that they wouldn't ordinarily see because, you know, you're just sort of presenting it in an emotionally truthful way, I suppose. But yeah, it's and you want it varied, you know, you want it kind of, you want it sort of different and because it just makes the work more interesting and challenges you, and not too much, but enough to sort of go, you know, it's effortful and it's in a good way, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Does that mean you get recognized all the time? Like, oh, you're the guy from you must get that all the time.
I don't know what it is about my face, but it's like it's all good. I don't know what it is about my face, but I can just be in a place and sometimes I get the sort of triples. Sometimes I get the and they're sort of like looking and it's like, is it? It can't be.
Yeah.
But there's other acts I know and they go, no, that's the guy. So I think it's something about like, I don't know, and it's usually because I'm doing a school run and I'm really like, ah, oh, like, you know,
yeah,
up against the time or whatever else. And it's like, so that's, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it takes a bit of effort for people to recognize me, really. But
I think that's the best.
I like that. Yeah.
We usually ask our guests for a recommendation on Netflix. But before we do, I have to ask you this before you go. It would be remiss of us to miss this out. Obviously, Sweet Tooth is it comes from Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey are at the helm.
Yes.
What is it like working with them? Like, did you have much interaction with them? Or if you didn't, that's fine. I'm just interested in what is that like.
Their main producery person became sort of quite good friends with, because I was able to take my kids and my wife and my kids over with me.
Oh, nice.
And we. So we were next door to sort of Amanda, who's their sort of main person. And so we had this sort of house next door, and they got the same age kids as ours, and they were all playing. So it was really lovely. And basically the overall feeling is, and I think you get it a lot in Sweet Tooth, it's like you can sort of go to these quite hard places, things that are quite complex, these sort of storylines that are quite complex, but the overall feeling is one of like feeling hopeful, you know what I mean? Just like it sort of leaves you, it's like a soft landing in amongst this sort of like crazy, crazy journey you've been in. And it's like, it still leaves you with that sort of sliver of stuff. And I think that's sort of like, you know, chatting to Amanda and everything, I think that's the sort of main sort of thrust of there with the stuff that they do that came through in Sweet Tooth, I think.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Recommendation. What's something that you've watched on Netflix that you'd recommend to our audience to watch on Netflix that you would 10 out of 10 would recommend?
Masters of None.
Oh!
Yeah.
I knew I liked you. You're a brilliant man.
Okay. Hypothetical for you.
Okay.
Let's say
we're
at a party. Mm-hmm. Maxwell's playing.
Love him.
You don't know me. I don't know you. And I ask you out on a date. Would you say yes?
Yeah. I said yes, then I say yes now.
It's just challenging visually, you know, just like leave the shot on.
Yeah.
Leave it. People can cope, you know, and it's... Yeah. The storyline, the acting was immense. Like it just made me feel good that is out in the world in the way that it is, you know?
Nice. We've got an episode with Naomi if you ever want to fancy listening to it. Yeah. It was really good. She's brilliant.
Yeah, like, really?
Brilliant.
Yeah. Excellent.
In all the places you can find your podcast.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to check it out. Wow. Yeah,
but yeah,
great.
She's absolutely brilliant, and the cameras are brilliant.
Yeah,
as well,
yeah, and her, I don't know her, but I feel like you sort of. Well, we started this conversation a little bit. You sort of feel like you know her a little bit.
Through the thing that
she's doing, and it's like that's what you want when you turn on you want to go, oh yeah.
Yeah,
I know that person, and that's I feel safe in their hands.
Yeah,
you know,
that was a good introduction.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
This has been a joy.
Thank you.
It's been an amazing chatting.
Thank you. Take care.
Once upon a time, bad people ruled the earth. They were greedy and self-destructive. So nature made everyone sick.
Excuse me? Are you a doctor?
And then a miracle happened. They called them hybrids. Your kind. It's your job to live a full life. But some bad people are still out there, Gus.
I love him.
He's the best. He's so nice.
He's so nice. And I think I said towards the end of the Zoom cutting off that I love him. And it was a mistake because I thought he left the room. But I hope he's still there.
Yeah, I hope he heard you too. I think everyone could do with a little boost.
Yeah, that was brilliant. He's brilliant. And he's been in every show he's in, but definitely brilliant in Sweet Tooth as well.
So let's talk other recommendations. I'm really excited this week because I'm prepared to sell you a show.
Why are you saying that? Like, it's not your job.
I mean, yeah, it is my job.
You're like, I did it. Like, yeah.
Does everyone hear how I get bullied on this podcast? I just want everyone to know. Now, this will come out next week for those who are watching this episode. Listening to this episode today. And it's a documentary called Sisters on Track. Have you seen anything like a trailer or anything?
No, you beat me.
So it's about these three sisters. Oh, God of mercy. It's literally, it's heart-wrenching. Like, they're so cute.
Every day has something to do with the next day. You gotta work for your dreams. They just don't come because you say, oh, please come.
The Shepherds are a special case.
They never ran before.
No idea they were athletes?
No, not at all. Stretch,
track, get to the goal. There's going to be a lot of coaches looking for them to come to their school.
Education is the key. And that's the only way they're going to make it.
About these three sisters, they're black girls, and they are being raised in New York by a single mum, and they all run track, and they each individually are really, really, really good at track. Like, they go to track practice, and they were originally homeless, and their babysitter took them to track practice, and they suddenly became really good and got all these opportunities. I think Tyler Perry paid for them to stay in an apartment for 2 years, so they could no longer so it's like tracking that journey. But what's cool about it is that, like, the eldest daughter is 13. And like, it tracks it. I just think the way that people do documentaries and they make, like,
I want to make one so bad.
It's amazing how they make a linear storyline when life is not linear. But like, you can see how, you know, one of them is going through puberty. And speaking of soundtracks being really important and music being important, they use Charlie XCX. I've been busy thinking about boys. And it's like, and you can see, like, she suddenly started to get interested in boys and all this other stuff and blah, blah, blah. And it's just a really beautiful look into, you know, what it takes to get out of, like, you know, a hard situation. Like, they don't have a lot of money. They were homeless, as I say. They have a single mum who's, like, looking to get a new job. And they're being raised by the mum, but also by, like, their coach. And like, their coaches at the track practice and everything. And they're just like, it's just beautiful. It's really similar to, I think it's similar to Cheer, but it's got more heart.
I'm going to start watching that tonight, actually.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So Tia, I feel like you always have very good recommendations. You set a precedent of being very good at recommending shows and being less shit than I am. So what have you got this week?
Thank you very much. I'm very proud of that. This is a film, actually. It's not a TV show this week. It is a film and it's called Private Life.
I just don't want to find myself at 50 in some block association meeting trying to prevent the opening of a new bar.
Richard, we're not turning 50 on East 6th Street.
I'm 47.
Having a baby is an immoral act. Overpopulation, climate change, rise of neo-fascism.
Did you take your Valium?
Yes.
Why?
They're trying a by any means necessary approach.
I thought they were done with all that and they were trying to adopt.
They're still doing that.
They're like fertility junkies.
It was a film, I think it was made in 2018. So it's that's quite new-ish. Basically, it's an independent film, and you can tell because it's not like loads of cast members or anything like that. It's based on a couple who were struggling to conceive. So they're in their 40s and they kind of tried all of the options, like, just tried everything to conceive, and it's just been really hard. And it is so sad. I'll be honest, it is actually heartbreaking. And it's just like the realities of trying to conceive at a late age, or if you just have issues conceiving. I won't spoil it, but it is really, really hard to watch, but essential watching, and you're gonna cry in it. Do you know them slow burner films where you feel like you learn to love the couple?
Yeah.
And you just want really good things to happen for them.
Yeah.
Life's. Is all I can say. But it's worth a watch. It's a really, really nice film. I really enjoyed it.
I feel like indie films tend to do that. Like, they don't have the glossy, happy ever after like Hollywood films do.
I wonder if there's a film with Hollywood films which feel the need to give their audiences an expected ending.
I think there is. I do.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think that people want to feel satisfied.
Yeah.
And they want hope.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. And maybe indie films don't have to give you hope. They just have to give you realism.
Yeah. And sometimes it's more impactful not to give you the hope, but you feel less alone knowing that, like, yeah, that's just everyone's reality is like that.
And what I realise of indie films is that, like, people dress how they dress in real life. Did you know, like, when in Hollywood films, it's like, no one's wearing that Max Marla dress to Tesco's.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's, like, ridiculously dressed up in Hollywood films, in terms of, like, big Hollywood films. But the, like, indie ones, like, a khaki coat.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
It's just, like, very normal things that people wear and own, but would 10/10 recommend Private Life. It's absolutely brilliant. Let me tell you how good it was. After watching it, I tweeted it and then went to look for the hashtag and just, like, talked to random people that they were spoken to. No one I'd known had watched it, and I just went to talk to someone about it. So I literally just went on the hashtag on Twitter and just spoke to people that I didn't know.
I love that. I love that. Okay, so you've got Sisters on Track as a new documentary that's coming out on Netflix soon. And you have, is it a Private Life or the?
Private Life.
Private Life, which is a film on Netflix too. I think we've done really well there.
It's hard to work.
Fantastic. Proud of us. All right. So thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. It was great chatting to Adil. And it's been great recording in real life. Please let God, let's hope it continues.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of 1010 Would Recommend. If you guys have any recommendations, anything you want us to watch, please tweet us using the hashtag 1010 Would Recommend. And please watch Private Life so I don't have to talk to strangers about it on the internet. I have been Tolly T. You can find me at Tolly_T on Twitter and Instagram.
And I have been Gina. You can find me at Smile Gina. That's G-E-N-A on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. And you can find at Netflix UK across all platforms.
Thank you very much, guys. Bye.
Bye.